Already. Got the fan on, in case you hear a little residual noise, just letting you know, got the fan on. And it is our pre-show here for Tuesday. Okay. Got a lunch meeting today. Another one of them meetings, you know. We'll see if anything happens with this. What is this shit? Got a big, big promotional package in the mail today from the... look at these guys passing joints. What the fuck is this? I gotta find out what movie this is that I'm looking at on TCM. It's, looks like it's like a satire of some kind. The Discreet Charm of the Bourgeois, 1972, Fernando Rey. Bizarre events frustrate an ambassador, his wife, and friends hoping to dine in Paris. What the fuck? One of them art movies, I think. One of them old school art movies, you know. Let me see what kind of a rating this thing got. It got a 98%. God damn, man. All right, so... interesting. Okay, so that's that. And we got the Clipper game on here if they're playing. Who the fuck are they playing tonight? Denver. I can't get into the Clippers. Nothing against the Clippers. I just can't get into it. I don't... You know, for me, sports has always been a fun thing to follow because of my allegiance to a team. Not necessarily because I'm just following whoever wins. I've never done that. I don't, that's not how I think when it comes to sports. A lot of people do. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. People like winners. I do too, but I like to see a winner come through all the shit first before they become winners. I like to know how they got there. I like to be a part of the climb to the top, you know, as a fan. And, like, for instance, my mother, when she was alive, God rest her soul, became a Chicago Bull fan because she liked watching Michael Jordan. Which is great, but it was just a matter of, my mother was just one day watching TV, and she saw Michael Jordan and just decided, oh, I love watching this guy, and became a fan of the Chicago Bulls and Michael Jordan. Why? Because they were winners and because the guy was very entertaining to watch. That's fantastic. That's the way most of us follow most entertainment. But sports is a little different. Sports doesn't quite... You don't get the richness of experience with sports if you do that. You may think you do, but you don't. While we all want to watch a great performance, I love watching great movies, great plays, listening to great music, and so on. But when it comes to sports, it doesn't work like that. I don't look around for the team that wins and go, aha, I want to go follow them. It's not like that. That's why sports is, people have a very difficult time classifying sports as entertainment, because it doesn't quite work the way other entertainment products do. Although, at the end of the day, that's exactly what it is. It has no more value than that. It has the same value as any entertainment. Is it quality entertainment? Is it not? Does it enhance some facet of our view of the world? Does it make us see bigger and see deeper? Does it help us live longer? Does it help us not live longer physically, but does it help us with the whatever it is that we see around us in this life, does it help us enrich that? You know, that's what a great movie or a great poem or a great song or a great sporting event can do. Can make us feel better, in other words. But sports is one other thing. Sports demands that you suffer through the creation process. No other entertainment product, entertainment vehicle asks that of us. No poet or songwriter or singer or band necessarily demands that you be there through the stumbling and the crawling and the clawing to the top in order for you to really appreciate what it is they're saying to you. You can listen to a song and it doesn't make any goddamn difference to you how many years it took to write that song, or how many different drafts, or how many rejection letters, or how many different bands or how many different arrangers or any of that. It doesn't matter to you. The song's beautiful. And that is all that's required. You don't need to do anything else. You don't need to get any more involved with the creation than that. You don't even have to know who the motherfucking guy is that's singing the song if you don't want to. Although, in most instances, the singer, the performer, makes it all that much richer a song to hear or more richer an experience. But the sports team, that's different. The sports team demands, not that they actually park themselves at your front door and say, now, if you're going to be a season ticket holder, then you must. No, they don't say that. They don't have to say that. It's understood. No team is going to tell you we don't want your money because you haven't followed us for 20 years. No team would ever do that. But no team even remotely expects you to understand the experience of being a fan of theirs by simply plopping your ass in one of their season seats and enjoying their winning season, having never seen them play or not knowing anything about them, you know. They don't. No one would expect that in their right minds. No team does. No athlete does. No other fan does. Anybody that actually thinks that they're getting the whole package by saying, wow, the New England Patriots, they're a winning team. I'm going to go get season tickets and sit and watch. And now I'm a fan. Hey, you may think you are, and you may think you're enjoying things, but you're not in any way, shape, or form even coming close to the experience of being a fan of that team. So why am I saying all this shit? I'm saying, and let me underline the word shit, I'm saying it because, excuse me, I can't just sit my ass down and become a Clipper fan having not shared in the tumult and the stops and starts and the losing and the frustration and the L.A. sports arena on those dark and empty nights when there wasn't a goddamn soul in the place as they were losing yet another basketball game. I wasn't part of any of that. Now, but people are probably saying, well, are you trying to tell me then, Phil, therefore you can never be a Clipper fan? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I have to begin my journey with the L.A. Clippers and experience what this team is about before I can actually call myself a fan. That's all there is to it. Oh, no, wait a minute, Phil. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. I don't care. With all due respect to those of you that are listening, I don't give a shit what you think. I'm telling you the facts. You may think you're a fan. You're not. Well, I paid my money. Okay, good for you. You paid your goddamn money. We all pay our money, and we all take our chances in this world. There isn't a soul out there that hasn't had to dig down deep and cough up probably a hell of a lot more than the rest of us at one time or another. All of that is a given, but it does not make you anything more than some schmuck that pulled the money out of his pocket and threw it on. It doesn't make you a fan. It doesn't make you a player. It doesn't make you an owner. It doesn't make you this. It doesn't make you that. It just makes you. It makes you customers what it makes you, and that's it. A fan is different. Now, I can go today, and I can get season tickets for the Los Angeles Clippers, and I can begin going to their games. And I can say I really admire what this team has been through, just tangentially what I've seen. I want to go to the games. I want to be a fan. I want to be a fan. Am I a fan? Not yet. I got to sweat blood. I got to go through the experience of what a fan goes through, and that is winning, losing, injury, distraction, all of the stuff that happens to fans. I was an L.A. Ram fan for years. Years and years. And believe me when I tell you, I watched that team stink it out more times than I care to tell you. And then when they began to win under John Robinson, it made it all the more sweet because I could remember those years of frustration, losing big games. And they continued to do it under Robinson. Don't get me wrong. They just did it in different ways. You know, they were doing it different than the way they did it under Chuck Knox or the way they did it under Ray Malavasi. The Rams needed something. As it turned out, they needed to get the fuck out of L.A. is what they needed. They needed, I don't really think that's the cure. I think what the cure was, the Rams needed new ownership. They needed new people in the front office. They needed some people that really got it about owning a football team, not the people they had. They had a horrible, horrible front office. They had a terrible ownership. And I say that with all due respect to Mrs. Frontieri, but hey, the late, the late Carol Rosenblum's wife, who then married Dominic Frontieri, and, you know, whatever. I mean, sure, they made it, they had some great acquisitions. They had the years of Eric Dickerson. I mean, I'm just telling you, you know, I'm talking about being a fan now. I was a fan of the L.A. Rams. I'm a fan of the L.A. Lakers. What's happening to the Lakers right now is just, it's horrible. It's horrible to see. It's also unbelievable. I can't fucking believe it. I guess I never thought the Lakers would ever really be a shit fucking basketball team. I mean, there were down years. Don't get me wrong. There were some bad years in the late 60s. Excuse me, not the late 60s. What am I saying? There's some bad years in the 70s. And there were a couple of bad years back, in the 90s maybe. But Lakers always bounce back. This team, this organization now looks like they are in serious fucking trouble, man. We had some pretty good ownership there under Jerry Buss. We had great ownership under Jack Kent Cook. I don't know. I mean, that's what my perception was. And we were winning. We only won one title with Jack Kent Cook. That was 71-72. Came back under Jerry Buss and kicked fucking ass. The 80s was an unbelievable decade for the Lakers. That was amazing. And then there was, the early days of the Lakers under Bob Short when they were battling the Celtics. I'm talking about the early L.A. days, battling the Celtics. And back when the St. Louis Hawks were the St. Louis Hawks and were a dominant team in the Lakers division. And so that's how all of that shit went, you know. And I watched the Lakers lose some heartbreaking series against the Celtics in those days. So you go through it, you know. You live through it. Dodgers, same thing. I got a friend of mine who's a big Angel fan. I'm an Angel fan in a very respectful way, at a distance. You know, I respect the Angels and what they've been able to do. I can't call myself a fan because I've never really lived and died with that team. I've sort of stood at the side of the road and watched the car burn, you know, and I've called 911 and I hope they can, you know, salvage the car. But I mean, that's about as close as I ever got to the Angels. But the fucking Dodgers, I was riding in the car with them, you know, and same with the Lakers, same with the Rams. Now, hockey, I don't give a fuck. I was raised by Canadians, and I don't give a fuck. I was raised by a Canadian father and mother who moved to California, and like so many other Canadian transplants to California, immediately looked around and said, where's the hockey, and started taking their kids to the minor league games. I went to the minor league games with my dad. And we went on and we saw the Kings when they first came to town in whatever, the 68, 66. I can't remember which year it was. It was the year of the big expansion. I watched the Kings, you know, whatever. I mean, I had a lot of fun watching them when they won and when they weren't winning and when they sucked. I had other things to do. You know what I mean? I never really checked the fucking sports page for the Kings. Still don't. Or the Ducks. Now, if I ever do get a set of season tickets for a Kings or a Ducks game or a season, I can assure you of this. I'm not going to go down there and call myself a fan. I'll go down there and I'll sit in the seat and I'll watch and I'll experience and I'll soak it up and I'll take a deep breath and probably gag and, you know, and I'll say, oh, wow, this is the experience of being a King fan, huh? And I'll look around me and I'll look at all the jokers, and that's where that's at, you know. And then one day, someday, maybe, who knows, maybe not, I will find myself to a fan. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. One of the problems being, living up here at the El Pacifico, I'm a million goddamn miles away from, well, not a million, but I'm a little too far away from a team that is playing several times a week. That may, for instance, on a homestand, Kings and the Ducks are going to play three times a week, maybe. Maybe four. I don't know. I'm going to get down into town for that many games. Same thing with the baseball teams. But and basketball. But football, which, of course, we don't have a professional football team, is an easy thing an easy thing to do. Now, this is one of the reasons why we have begun doing attempted to do remotes with our remote, and we're ironing that out. So, you know, I'm really, really sorry. We were supposed to have a part two, a BSP only from San Francisco, and we had an audio fuck up. It was a configuration that I did not make, and as a result, there was no audio, and I apologize for that. I can assure you it will not happen again. And maybe that's the answer. I can go into town, and I can watch Kings games, and I can watch Laker games, and I can watch whatever games, and I can get a hotel, and I can sit there on my fucking ass for 3 days, and I can do the podcast from in town, which is probably, if you get right down to it, probably the best way of doing things. I'll tell you right now, I think that's the best way of doing things. Okay. Today was... Yeah, actually, tomorrow is the day that we have this meeting. So I was going to do some Elcott today. I haven't done Elcott in a long time. And, I think that might be a way to go. Let me ask you guys a question. I was talking about this with... friend of mine the other day said, are Europeans, I'm talking about white people now, just the white people, because I think black Europeans and black Americans, I don't see a big difference in the way they look. But I do see a big difference in the way white people in Europe and North America look. I see a decidedly, I'm not talking about the clothing, forget about, we all know, and all the jokes about how European men dress. And they probably got equal numbers of jokes about how European men dress, okay? And probably the women, too. I'm not talking about that. It may be the haircut, but I'm not even talking about the haircut. I mean physically, the face, the physiognomy. Now, yes, I know they're white. Whatever constitutes the Caucasian race, you know, whatever constitutes race these days, it's very difficult now. I think for the most part, we're talking about skin color, you know. But there was a time when I was a kid where they had racial, we would read about this. There were the four or five races of the world, black, the Negro, Caucasian, Negroid, Caucasoid, Australopoid, the Australian people are of a completely different race from, say, African or black or Negroid people and Caucasian or Caucasoid people. And then there was the Mongoloid people who were the traditionally Asian, Chinese, you know, Japanese people. Well, what are Indian people like of the subcontinent of India? They were technically white people or Caucasians. And they even had, they're even... You know, they were even, and are, the descendants of the Aryan people who came from Europe and settled India. Truth. The Indian people are the descendants of a race of people who moved from Europe many, many, many thousands of years ago. This is what I was taught. And I was taught by, you know, this is not... some kind of weird quack science. This is the accepted belief of the migrations of people during, you know, at the dawn of history, maybe some prehistory there, you know. But I look at white people in Europe, and we're talking about this. I said, you know, look at British people. Now, I don't know. I said, if you look at me, my mug, and I walk into a pub in England, and I don't open my fucking mouth, I don't know that anybody's going to mark me for being an American. You may say, again, the way you dress. Well, I'm just excluding how we dress. And I don't know that I dress all that much different from, but let's say, you know, I do. But forget about that. Just my face. But I'm telling you, I can look at some people and I think, that guy's French, or that guy's Italian. And I don't mean Italian-American. I mean Italian-Italian, you know. Now, I could be wrong, but in America, for in North America for 500 years, there's been a settling of immigrant people from Europe and Africa and Asia and elsewhere, and a fair amount of mixing of races and ethnicities through marriage, and the resulting birth of their offspring, and that's bound to create some sort of a new look. I don't know what the fuck you would call that, but it's bound to create a new kind of white man, you know. maybe I'm wrong. Whereas in Europe, it's pretty much been sort of static for the most part for, you know, thousands of years. Maybe it's changing a bit over the last couple of hundred years, but I mean, in terms of like migration from Africa, but I just look and I'll say, that cat looks like he's fucking French. I'll see a couple on the beach. The guy's in his, forget about whether he's in his goddamn bikini brief fucking French bathing suit, you know, right away that you, I mean, even if he wasn't. Or is it the fact that the clothing is, you know, the tip off? Is that what, am I just fooling myself here? Do I think I'm smarter than I am? Well, obviously that's true. Anyway, fuck it. I don't know what I'm saying. So we're going to, I was thinking of doing Elcott the next step, but now I'm thinking, ah, fuck that. You know, I'm not sure that I want to. I don't know. All right. Get some notes going here. I want to get some notes. Notepad. Sure, what I'm going to do on this show today. I think I will go to the panel. I won't do Elcott today, but maybe I'll interview Elcott. That's it. I will interview Elcott. Dr. Elcott, how are you?
Oh, good morning. I'm doing well. I'm at the...
Is that a bowling alley I hear you're at?
I am at a bowling alley. This is where we give some of our... We do have our initiate orientation at a bowling alley. This is Melvin's Bowl here in Wampaw, New York. And I have been asked to... we can't seem to find... I go to the bowling alleys once a week to find initiates. And Elcott, the next step. How are you? All hail Elcott.
Yeah, whatever.
All hail Elcott. I come here and I try and proselytize.
So you're like a missionary right there at a bowling alley.
Yes, I am, General. A missionary in a bowling alley.
That's good.
I've got him by the head. I've got. Oh, he's out. He's loose.
I've got him. Don't worry.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Here comes the head. Here comes the head. Watch it. Ah! Ah!
He's bitten me.
I've got him by the head.
What a pussy! Listen to the guy.
Oh, he's out. He's loose.
I've got him. Don't worry.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Here comes the head. Here comes the head. Watch it. Ah! Ah!
He's bitten me.
God damn it! Now what am I gonna do, man? I forgot to. Oh God, do I gotta fucking tape this whole bitch of a? Okay, never mind. All right, well, good. Then here's what I'm gonna do. Something. I forgot to tape.
I've got him by the head.
Do you? Do you have him by the head?
He's out. He's loose.
Oh, is he loose?
I've got him. Don't worry.
Whoa, 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 whoa! Here comes the head. Here comes the head. Watch it. Ah! Ah!
He's bitten me.
I love it. You spin, feeling your shit. This is your moment. And every single minute you spin, trying to hold on to it, cause you may never get it again. So while you're in it, try to get as much shit. Can you fucking believe that shit? I forgot the goddamn bitch. Fuck. God damn it. All right. All right. It's all right, man. It's okay. I'll do it. Now, I want to,
Watch it. Ah! Ah! Whoa, 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 here comes the head. Here comes the head. Whoa, 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 here. Whoa, 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 here comes the head. Here comes the head. Watch it. Ah!
I love that, man. Wait. See, what can we do with that, man?
Whoa, 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 here comes the head. Here comes the head. Watch it. Ah! Ah, no, no.
Bob. Bob Meat. Just got bit by the chick. Fuck. I gotta strip the audio out of this motherfucker. I'm not even gonna have Alex do it. I'll do it. Because I forgot to roll Audacity. You son bitch. How do you like that shit? Oh, well. You know what? God, motherfucker. I got to get up tomorrow and do a fucking... How much time we got here? I got two minutes left. God damn it. And I want to do Elcott. And Chris Norton. Elcott, Chris Norton. What is this, man? All right. Are we ready to go, man? I got a minute to go here, brother. Minute to go, brother. Minute to go, brother. Go to right side audio. Okay, cool. There he is. There's Bob Meat. And to my daily audio here. We're ready to go. ready to go. Where's Bob Meat, motherfuckers? There he is. I want to get some sound effects. And bowling alley. I don't know where that porn music is. Oh. All right, folks, we're ready to go. We're ready to do it. We're ready to be a part of the majesty and the fun that is the Phil Hendry Show. All right, here we go.